I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided Radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided radio show this morning. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show. I'm so thankful that you are taking the time this awesome Sunday morning to be with us. It is the Sunday before Christmas. Can you believe it? I can't. It's just rolled around so fast. But I hope, like me, you love this season and you are enjoying the reason for the season, and hopefully not too busy, too crazy, and just taking some time to truly focus on what matters, your family, your faith, and just enjoying what God has given us. And I am really excited about our show today. As you know, we like to dive in to our weekly winning word on our radio show and just kind of chat with our guest about it and add some depth, hopefully, to the content that we send you every Sunday in your weekly winning resource. And just talk to some of our friends and business members of I've Decided and hear what they have to say. So I am very excited to have my guest and friend in the studio with me today, Pastor Chuck Tate from Rock Church. Hey, Pastor Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
I could not think of a better person, really, to be on the show with me today, because our weekly winning word is hope. And this is the Sunday before Christmas. And obviously, we celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior, and we have in whom we've put our hope and our faith and our trust in. And so I just kind of wanted to hear what it was kind of selfish that I invited you today, because I'm like, I want to get my own private message, my own private word today in the studio. Hear what Pastor has to say about hope. And, you know, as we embark on Christmas and this new year, I just love to hear what you have to say and what you're sharing with your congregation about hope and what it means to you.
All right. Well, first of all, yeah, thank you so much. Like I said, it's just a privilege to be here. And I know when I talk about hope, I get filled with hope. So that's what we're gonna do today. A passage that I want to go right to is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. And it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. A dream that comes true is a field of life. But there's usually a season of waiting between that longing and that longing being fulfilled. So it's so vital to have hope when you're in the middle of the meantime. A lot of people, they throw in the towel and they quit. They give up before that dream comes true. And I just want to say right at the bat, you're not too old to dream again. You're not too young to dream. And we know we serve a God of hope. That's what this holiday is all about. Jesus coming from heaven to earth. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. That means that today, no matter what you're encountering, no matter what you're going through, you're not alone. And because God is with you, there's always hope. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts I have toward you, declares the Lord. And they're not harmful plans, but it says, I have hope and a future for you. So today, really, as we are right around the corner from Christmas, let's unpack what the word says about hope.
That sounds amazing. I can't wait. So we are going to dive right in. If you are tuning in, you're listening to I've Decided Radio, and that's Pastor Chuck Tate from Rock Church sharing, and he's going to tell us some of what the Bible, the word, has to say about hope. So give it to us, Pastor Chuck.
All right. Well, listen, before I get to, I want to talk about Joseph in just a moment, who was engaged to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we're going to unpack some of the feelings that he had, because I believe we can all relate to him. But before we get to that, I thought I would talk about a familiar movie. My family loves to watch Christmas movies. My wife loves to watch Hallmark movies. That's a whole other podcast. That's a whole other radio show, I should say.
Hallmark radio. Yeah. A lot of women sitting around sobbing.
Well, at our home, I have a 14-year-old daughter named Savannah. I have an 11-year-old boy named Ashton. Ashton is not into Hallmark at all, but my wife and daughter love it, so I have learned to love it as well. Yes, I'm submitting my man card. I love Hallmark movies. They're all the same movie, right? So,
most of them have happy endings, that's for sure.
Yes, they all have happy endings.
At some point, you're sobbing, and then you're like, yay, it all worked out.
Yes, there's going to be a conflict, but you know it's going to work out in the end. And of course, we know that in the end of our life, regardless of what we go through, someday there'll be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. That's the hope that we have as followers of Jesus, knowing that someday we're going to be united with him forever. But what do we do in the meantime, like I said a little bit ago? But the film that I want to talk about is Home Alone. So just a couple weeks ago, we watched Home Alone, and perhaps those of you that are listening today, you've seen the movie recently. If you haven't seen it recently, I'm sure you have seen it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've even seen Home Alone, and I am not a TV or movie buff by no means, but it's one of the probably 20 or 30 movies I've seen. So if I've seen it, everyone has seen it.
Well, for those that haven't, just in case, it's about an 8-year-old boy named Kevin McAllister. He's from a wealthy family who's grown up in the Chicago suburbs. He's from a large family, and this family has invited their extended family to go to Europe for Christmas. But Kevin gets in trouble the night before they're supposed to fly out, and he gets sent to his room up in the attic or wherever in the house alone. And he has this conversation. He fights with his mom. He says some things that he shouldn't. And one of the things that he says is, I just wish my family was gone, or something similar to that. So he wakes up in the morning. Now, in the morning, because the house is filled with extended family, they're all running around trying to just get in the van to get to the airport. Of course, he gets left behind, and when he wakes up, he realizes that his family's gone. He's alone. His dream has come true. Now, at first, he loves this. I mean, he's excited because, hey, I can do what I want. I can watch whatever I want. I can order pizza, right? He goes, nobody's going to, you know, tell me what to do or how to do it. I can go into my brother's room and snoop around. There's no rules. I have complete freedom, right?
I'm getting the vision of this kid. I mean, who happens to be an adult today, but back then when he was in the show.
Yeah. So there is some conflict that comes his way, but he even enjoys that, so to speak, because we got the world's dumbest criminals that come after him, and he terrorizes them. And they're my favorite villains of any movie. Harry and Marv are their names. But eventually, Kevin gets caught, and he realizes that being home alone is not what he thought it would be. He's sorry for some of the things that he said to his mom, and what happens is he finds himself alone. He's lonely. So the question that I want to ask those that are listening is, do you feel alone right now? Do you feel lonely? I know some of you, holidays are difficult because you lost a loved one. Perhaps you live alone. Maybe you're not surrounded by a circle of friends that believe in you or holding up your arms, or maybe Christmas is a memory of having a sibling or a parent leave you. I just know that loneliness that you feel, that void, can be filled by Jesus. It's not just available at Christmas time, but it's available all the time. And Mother Teresa said this: loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. That's what she said. And then Los Angeles psychiatrist Dr. Leonard Zunin, he said this: despite the fact that the average American meets as many people in 1 year as their ancestors met in a lifetime 100 years ago, loneliness is the main problem facing Americans today. Think about that, Kim. Loneliness is the number one problem facing Americans today. And then he said this: everyone needs friendships, all right? So it's so important that we surround ourselves with people. And the best way to have a friend is to be a friend. And we know, like I just said, this feeling of loneliness, it's compounded at Christmas. So I want you to know that the feeling of loneliness at Christmas is nothing new. So let's talk about Joseph, because when Joseph enters the story, we're going to see that he felt abandoned, and somewhat was abandoned, or it wasn't what it may have seemed. But let me just read this passage to you, Kim, and those that are listening. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit." I mean, that's a lot to take in right there, right? "Now Joseph, to whom she was engaged," it says he was a righteous man, and he didn't want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, let's stop right there for a moment, because we can learn a lot how to respond to conflict from Joseph. Notice it doesn't say that he immediately went to Facebook and just posted this long rant going off on Mary, throwing her under the bus. I mean, back in this day, Mary could face death for becoming pregnant at a wedlock. So this was a very serious offense. And notice he was a man of character and integrity. He wanted to do it the right way, and he was just going to break it off quietly. I mean, how many times have we posted something only to regret it? So just like the word says, we need to think before we speak. We also need to think before we tweet, right? Think before we post on Facebook. We can learn a lot from Joseph. But here's what happened. As he was considering walking away, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She's going to have a son. You're to name him Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." It says, "All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." I said this moments ago, and that means God is with us. That means God was with Joseph in that very moment. When Joseph woke up, he did exactly as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. And it says, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. All right, so that's, so when he said, "I did not have sex with this woman," he meant it. He really, really meant it. This was the real deal. And it says Joseph named him Jesus. So let's just think for a moment the emotions that had to just flood Joseph's mind. I mean, anger, resentment, betrayal, abandonment. And these are some very real emotions that I know some of you listening, you have felt, and maybe you even feel right now someone has done you wrong. This is not a joyful time for you because of what's been taken away from you, or what's been said about you, or what's been done to you. All right. Joseph had every opportunity to be upset. Here he's engaged. His wife's pregnant. It's not him. He hasn't been with her. What is going on? But God sent an angel to calm him down and deliver a message. And perhaps today this radio show is that message that you need to hear, that there's still hope. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to give up. You can move forward and trust God to see you through. All right. So we continue on this story. Now, Joseph, he didn't break it off. He stayed faithful to Mary, and he took her as his wife. And because he was in the lineage of King David, he had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem to have this baby, right? To have Jesus. And a lot of times we read this Christmas story, Kim, and we don't really think about how big a deal of it was for them to travel. I mean, we just read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. Yeah, they traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem.
And we see these cute pictures of the camel, yeah, and they're kind of sitting, yeah, Mary sitting sideways on the camel, and we, like, she just, went across the street or something, but she's very pregnant,
yes,
sideways on a camel, like,
yes,
this is for miles upon miles.
Yes, and that's exactly what I was going to point out, about 90 miles, historians believe, all right?
So I can't even imagine I can't even imagine. I'm trying to think when I was 9 months pregnant, I didn't want to walk 10 feet, waddle maybe, but I just can't even imagine getting on a camel. Like, how did that happen? Whatever.
Yeah, or even, could you imagine, I mean, even riding in a car for 90 miles and, you know, having your legs hang down, your feet hang, right? You know, swollen ankles or feet.
Yeah, so
or,
this is a big deal.
This is a big deal. And, you know, whether she was on a camel or a donkey or walking or, you know, on Joseph's back, I mean, I don't know. We just know it's 90 miles and she's pregnant. And when they arrive, hey, there's no hotel rooms. All right. Have you ever been on the road? And I mean, I have. I've been in the middle of the night with my family driving. And I remember somewhere outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, I could not get a room because there was some musical festival in town that I wasn't aware of. And I was just, we were just passing through and we could not find a place. We had to keep driving miles and miles and miles. And we were just absolutely fried. We needed a place to stay. Now imagine being 9 months pregnant and ending up in a barn. Right? I mean, think about that. So think about this commitment. When it says Joseph obeyed, he really did.
And Mary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Mary and Joseph obeyed, and they really had hope. They had hope in the truth that the angels had shared with them and what the Lord said. But that's a little sidebar there. The awesome Christmas story.
Yeah, yeah. So we know this. You know what happens? Jesus is born. They wrap him in swaddling clothes. They put him in the manger. And when he was around 2 years old, Herod, of course, who was jealous of Jesus, started killing the baby boys. So they received this, Joseph and Mary, they received this message that they were going to have to move from Bethlehem to Egypt. And again, we've read this story in Matthew chapter 2. Okay, yeah, I remember Jesus was a refugee. They had to take off and, you know, and get out of town. They didn't just get out of town, but this is about 429 miles with a two-year-old without, you know, you're not jumping on a plane. You're not in a car, but you're traveling all these miles with this two-year-old.
Mostly walking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we believe. A lot of it's walking, maybe some type of carts being pulled by animals or something along those lines. But
yeah,
it can't be very comfortable.
Yeah, no.
There's just no way to believe that was comfortable. There couldn't have been anything comfortable about it.
Yeah, and the whole reason is because their life's in danger. You know, and that definitely compounds some things and adds some added stress. But have you ever thought and wondered, well, how come Egypt? And the reason it was Egypt, well, once Egypt was a place of safety for Jesus and Mary and Joseph. It put them out of reach of the influence of Herod. But the real reason is because it fulfilled a prophecy of Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. And that says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. So what's fascinating about this, Kim, is the fact that we have manuscripts of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know the Bible is 66 books, and it is written in three languages on three continents in 16 countries by 40 different authors, yet it all flows together. We have more manuscripts of the Bible than any book in history. So yes, it is a book of hope, because we have prophecies that were written and unearthed and dug up that predicted something to happen hundreds of years later in the future. And then we have manuscripts of it actually happening. You know, it's really hard to comprehend how powerful this book is. I mean, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses of God speaking to us. And we know John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. What's that referring to? That's referring to Jesus coming from heaven to earth, rocking the manger for the purpose to go to the cross, to shed his blood, to come out of that grave so we could have hope, not just during the Christmas season, but in life.
Hope grounded in truth. I love that, Pastor Chuck. Hey, guys, if you're just tuning in or you listening to us this morning, first let me say thank you. We appreciate you joining our conversation. I am just hanging out here with Pastor Chuck Tate from Rock Church, and we are diving into our weekly winning word this week, hope. And it's just such a great word. I love that word. And like you said, Pastor Chuck, in the beginning, when you talk about hope, it just fills you with hope. And the word is just such a positive and powerful word, really. And we're all about hope at I've Decided, because that's what we want to do. We want to give you hope. We want to help you and encourage you to know that you have a purpose, have hope and belief in that purpose, and give you the tools and resources and everything you need in order to be successful. I want you to take the opportunity when you have a moment to check out our website at ivedecided.org. ivedecided.org. And check it out. And we'd love to have you join our community and just get on track to being successful and making 2019 the best year yet. You know, the best is always yet to come. I believe that. That's what I put my hope in. And as we get back to your message, Pastor Chuck, I wrote this down and I just love this. It says, hope grounded in truth gives us assurance when our hope is grounded in truth. So like if I say, I sure hope it's sunny tomorrow, well, that may not be grounded in truth because I really don't have any idea if it's going to be sunny. Even if the meteorologists say it's going to be sunny, sometimes they're not correct, right? Weather pattern comes in. But the hope that we're talking about is what you were explaining. It's the hope that's based on facts, that's based on truth, that's based on prophecy, that's based on books that were written thousands of years before Jesus was ever born and they were put together. It's not ironically that these books were put together. It's because it was ordained by God. It's the only way it could have possibly happened.
Absolutely, Kim. In fact, I believe when you look at scientific evidence, you look at historical evidence, when you look at archaeological evidence, there have been more archaeological discoveries to validate scripture than any book in history. When you look at all the prophecies that were fulfilled and then personal testimony, it requires more faith not to believe than to believe if you really take an objective look. So let me just to say this, you know, even in Joseph's loneliness, he still did the right thing. He did the right thing every time. And guess what? God did not abandon him and he won't abandon you. So let me just, I guess, share a couple of encouraging scriptures, I think, that will help confirm this. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, because I, the Lord, will personally go ahead of you. I'm going to be with you. I won't fail you or abandon you. Psalms 27:10 says, even if my mom and dad abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. And I know that some people listening right now, they can relate to that. They've been abandoned by a mom or by a dad, but guess what? God hasn't abandoned you. Why? Because he's Emmanuel. What's his name mean? I'm with you. He is with you. I mean, say that out loud. He is with me, right? Psalms chapter 68, verse 5 says that he is a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets prisoners free. He gives them joy. So today, if you need joy, you can have joy by choosing Jesus. Joy is a choice. And of course, because of him, we have that hope that is grounded in truth. 1 Samuel 12:22 says, the Lord won't abandon his people. And sometimes we feel like we're abandoned, but we haven't been abandoned. In fact, King David said this in Psalms 139, I can't escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. If I ride wings in the morning, you're there. If I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. So one thing that I will say, Kim, is God's, he's above us, he's below us, he's beside us, he's all around us. He is Emmanuel and he's with us.
He is. And we have hope and assurance in our hope that we will not be disappointed. God has promised us this. And that really is an awesome message, a very awesome message. Well, hey, we can't start to bring this radio show to a close without mentioning that you are going to be one of our speakers at our kickoff Motivational Leadership Conference on January 19th. I'm so excited about that.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I really am. I'm really looking forward to hanging out and being at I've Decided. I'm looking forward to meeting some of those that are listening.
I know. And so will you give us just a little insight? Now, don't tell them at all because we want them to get registered and join us at the conference.
Sure.
But can you give us just a little insight of what your message might be about?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about from dreaming to doing. It's one thing to dream, It's one thing to have hope for the future, but it's another thing to see that dream fulfilled. Like I said at the beginning of this radio show today, in Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled, a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So I want to help share some steps that will take people from dreaming to seeing their dreams come true.
Yes, taking that action.
Yes.
Taking that motivation. So excited. It's gonna really be great. And I hope you guys have been getting your weekly winning resources so that you're following along with our weekly winning word. In fact, I'm very excited. Our success planner and journal for 2019, they are in, and starting next Sunday, December 30th, that's going to be the first week of the new year for us at I've Decided. And in our success planner and journal, the very first weekly winning word to kick off 2019 is believe. And I am really excited about that because that's what it's about, right? It's about believing that your dreams, and it's that hope, again, like what you're saying, it's the hope and the truth, but also believing that what you desire deep in your heart is possible.
That's right. That's good. That's a good word right there. Believing. Yeah, it's all about faith.
I know. And so you have a book. We got to talk about that because I've read it. It's awesome.
Thank
41
you.
Will come. I thought you might mention it in the beginning because you were talking about that yeah. delayed period,
yes,
right?
Yes,
between
I almost
the
did.
Longing.
I almost.
So that's kind of what this, 41 will come is kind of about, right?
Sure. In fact, even from dreaming to doing, I share my story of how I published my book. It began as just a dream, and it became a reality because I didn't quit. And the whole premise of the book is, in Scripture, oftentimes the number 40, I mean, when you read through the Bible, numbers are significant, right? And when you look at the number 40, there's nothing magical about it, but the number 40 represents a season of waiting and trial, and day 41 or year 41 often delivers a breakthrough, a second chance, a new beginning. And I won't share all the examples, but a couple examples. In the beginning, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. 41 came and the rain stopped. Moses committed murder, hid on the backside of a desert for 40 years, but 41 came and he received a second chance when he was commissioned by God to be the rescuer of Israel. The children of Israel, they wandered a wilderness for 40 years, but 41 came and a new generation finally entered their promised land. And then the last example today, you got to come to the conference to hear the rest of them. But Goliath challenged the nation of Israel for 40 days. You might be familiar with the story of David and Goliath, but what you probably didn't know is he came out every day, twice a day, for 40 days, taunting them, bullying them, trying to get somebody to fight him. And guess what? Somebody did. On day 41, David slew Goliath. So anytime we have a dream, anytime we're hoping for something great in the future, there's usually a giant that will stand between your dream and your dream come true. So it's vital what we do in that meantime to ensure that we slay that giant so 41 can come in our own life.
That is exciting. I don't know about you, but I am excited to hear that message. And I hope you guys will join us. If you're listening and you have not made a decision to join our community, we'd love to have you. Please accept this personal invite from me. I want to help you achieve your goals and dreams. We have all the pieces of the puzzle to success. Your motivation, inspiration, support, accountability, tools, resources, information, and education. All those things that you need to be successful. We have great, amazing speakers lined up at our conferences, like what you're hearing today from Pastor Chuck Tate. If you want to hear him in person, see him live, meet him, take a look at his book, 41 Will Come. You can do that at our kickoff Motivational Leadership Conference on January 19th. And when you join our community, it's only $12.99 a month, and all three Motivational Leadership Conferences are included in that membership. So you can take advantage of that. Visit us at ivedecided.org. Well, I hope that you have really enjoyed this message today. Hope, huh? No pun intended, because that's our weekly winning resource. And that's what Pastor Chuck has been talking to us about. And the hope that he is speaking of is the hope that is founded on truth. And that is a hope that will not disappoint. It has assurance that comes along with it. And, really quick, I just had this thought, Pastor Chuck. first of all, thanks for being here on the show today.
You.
Really appreciate it. But I was just sitting here and I was just thinking about hope. It's very difficult to put hope and faith into something or someone that you don't know. And so I really just want to encourage people to get to know God.
Yes.
To get to know Jesus.
Yes.
And what would you say to them? Where's the first place they should start? What steps should they take?
Well, Jesus said, to know me is to know the Father. So that is the way. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus. And that's what the Word says, and that's what He said. And He is the living Word. So you seek Jesus, talk to Him. He's listening. After He came out of the grave, He appeared to His disciples for 40 days. And on day 41, He ascended to heaven where He sat at the right hand of the Father. And it says that's where He is today, interceding for us. That means Jesus is praying for you. He is cheering you on. So when you talk to Him and you put your faith into Him, say, you know what, Jesus, I believe in you. I'm going to surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. And guess what? You're going to experience hope that you've never had before.
And dive into the Word.
Yes.
The Word is alive, and Jesus speaks to you through the Word. So get out your Bible. Start reading the book of Matthew. Read the story. Get to know God. Get to know Jesus so you know where to place your hope. All right. This is the end of the road for us, Pastor Chuck. Our half hour is over. Can you believe it?
Man, it went so fast.
It goes so fast.
I had a blast with you, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being in the studio today. Thank you guys all for tuning in and joining us and being a part of this conversation. We're grateful for your support. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and have a very, very merry, merry Christmas. And enjoy the season, but please remember the reason of the season. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?